somebody, I want you to put your hands together right where you are. Begin to open up your mouth. The Bible says that our God is worthy of all of our praise from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. I love that song where the key word in the whole song is hallelujah, which simply means to lift up the name of our God with the highest form of praise that we can give him. So let's begin to open up our mouths right where we are. We're going to get into the message today, I promise you. But right where you are, I want you just to create an altar. And an altar is a place where you go to present sacrifices in the Old Testament. But here in the New Testament, Paul says to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, bringing the totality of who you are. So even if you've been sitting on your bed this past 10 minutes and you've been on your couch or whatever you've been doing, maybe you haven't been engaged in worship, I want you for the next 10 seconds to begin to lift up your hands, to begin to open up your mouth, close your eyes, whatever it is that you got to do, get some space and begin to cry out to Jesus right now. Come on, somebody, shout hallelujah right where you are, because he is worthy of all of our praise. He's been good to you. He has provided for you. He has opened up doors for you. Come on, somebody, he has healed your body. He has protected you. He has been with you through this entire pandemic, and we give him praise for it today. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for being an ever-present help in times of trouble. We thank you that you are the good shepherd, that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us, your rod, your staff, they comfort us. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus today, God, that as we are gathered together, worshiping you in spirit and in truth, wherever we are, whatever city we are in, whatever country and state where we are in, wherever we're viewing this and listening to this and watching this from, God, that you would meet us right where we are. We thank you, Lord, and we love you because you first loved us, in Jesus' name. And every single person, no matter how young or old you are, say amen. Come on, somebody, if you know he's good, put your hands together. He is awesome. What's up, B family, Bridge family? It's so good to see y'all here today for another online worship experience. This may be your first time viewing us. This might be your first time being a part of our online worship experience. And I just want to say, on behalf of our whole entire church family, welcome. Man, we consider you family. We call you B-Fam. That's short for Bridge Family. Because any person who's watching us, man, we consider you family. And we count it an honor that you're a part of today's worship experience. And as a matter of fact, some of you guys have actually recently connected with our church. Maybe earlier this year when we were still meeting in person. Maybe you recently connected with our church since we've been online. But here's the thing that I want. I want to be able to actually meet you, my wife and I, face to face. Like, we want to actually be able to connect with you online. So here's what we're doing. If you recently connected with our church over the past few months during this pandemic, maybe even before it started earlier this year, here's what we're doing. We are doing something that we're calling the B-Fam Zoom Welcome Party. Now, you might be Zoom called out. Maybe you've been on a whole lot of conference calls. You've been FaceTiming a whole lot of people. You've been Zoom calling a whole lot of people. And I get it. You know, maybe you're fatigued of it and you're just tired of it. But here's the gift of God. It is one of the best things that we can utilize in this season while we are still physically separated from one another. So if you're new to our church family, man, we want you to be a part of this experience. So it's happening this Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so if you want to be a part of that, if you've been watching us over the past few weeks, maybe you're new, maybe today's your first time experiencing the Bridge Church online, I want to invite you to be a part of that. I want to actually see you face to face and get to know you a little bit and just really welcome you digitally, give you a digital hug and a high five just to say what's up to you and to let you know that we're here for you, to let you know that we consider you family. So here's what I want you to do. Man, if you want to be a part of that experience, if you could text BFAM to 94,000. It's at the bottom of the screen. I want you to text that number because this Tuesday, we're going to be connecting with you. We would love for you to be a part of that experience. You, your family, your kids, man, bring everybody. Tell everybody to be a part of it. But in order to be a part, I need you to text that number. Text BFAM to 94,000 so that way we could be together. We could be family. And right before I get into the word, you know, some of the things that have been happening recently over the past few weeks, we've seen a lot of tragic things that have been happening in our country. much of which has been racially charged in different ways, and there's been a lot of heartbreak. People have lost their lives. We're seeing systemic racism. We're seeing injustice. We're seeing all of these things that God is against. And actually, this past Wednesday, we had a very, very powerful but needed kingdom Christ-centered conversation on the recent death of George Floyd and just racism and just really what the Bible has to say about that. I believe that as the body of Christ, we cannot have a cultural perspective of racism. We got to have a kingdom perspective. We got to be able to address it from the eyes of from the eyes of Jesus, from the lens of Scripture, which is why we had this conversation. And I'm excited because this is why our church was started. We called our church the Bridge Church, to see people connected and reconciled to God, but to also see people reconciled to one another. And so if you missed that conversation, it's on Facebook Live. I want you to go back and check it out and just carve out some time so that way you can be open to receive whatever it is that God wants to speak to you in regards to that experience. But then here's what we're also going to do. Beginning next Sunday, we're going to start a brand new series that's going to speak to some of these things, because I really want us to have a biblical understanding when it comes to these topics and these things that we're seeing play out, so that way we can truly be salt and light, so that way we can have a kingdom perspective of whatever it is that we're facing. So kingdom perspective, obviously in areas like parenting and in marriage, man, but we need to have a kingdom perspective even when it comes to matters of race. We got to know what Jesus says about it. We got to know what the heart of God is all about as it pertains to this. And so I want you to be a part of that experience next Sunday. Make sure you prepare yourself, start getting your friends ready, start inviting people. We're gonna have some real honest conversation about racism, understanding what the Bible says and what God's plan is about that. And we're also gonna be taking communion as a church family next Sunday. And so I want you to begin to prepare for that as well. So if you need to go to the store, you need to get some extra loaves of bread, whatever the case may be, you need to get some grape juice, get some water, you know, maybe some strawberry lemonade, that good old Simply, come on, somebody, like whatever it takes, I want you to be prepared for that, because next Sunday is going to be a special experience. But without further ado, I'm excited because today we're going to dive in to part five, the last part of our series that we've been in for the past 2 weeks called Mastermind. Everybody say Mastermind right where you are. Say Mastermind. Come on, tell the person beside you. Say Mastermind. And this series has been all about being able to get us to a place where our thoughts are in check, where we can master our mind by bringing our mind to the master, and the master's name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. So that way we can get our mind right, so we can get our thoughts right. And if you've missed any part of this series, I want you to go online sometime during the course of this week, and I want you to watch, I want you to listen, I want you to share this message series. I want you to digest this message series. Maybe you haven't been watching it because, you know, things have been crazy in your life throughout the course of the past few weeks. I want you to get this message and these messages from this series in your heart, so that way your mind can be like really what God wants it to be, so that way your mind is not all over the place. There's a lot going on right now, and the enemy wants to attack you in your mind, which is a little bit about of what we're going to continue to talk about today as we bring a close to this series, Mastermind. And I'm excited today because I'm not only going to preach this message, but I got some help that's going to help me preach this thing today. Come on, we got a great preacher in the house unofficially. Man, you heard from her from a few weeks ago on Mother's Day. I'm excited because my lovely bride, my woman of God, right, my rib, Ariel Janae, I put a whole government name out there, Ariel Janae Jones is going to help me preach this message today. So come on, church family, make as much digital noise as you can for Ariel as she comes forth to help preach the word of God. You ready to do this thing?
I'm ready.
You ready? Come on, somebody. Let's get it. First off, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Doing well?
Yeah.
You're looking good?
Well, thank you.
Look, we tried to match. You know, we tried to model being on one accord. And so I asked her what she was wearing, and she told me she's wearing this amazing, elegant, you know, dress. And so I was like, well, I think I got a little orange in the closet. You know what I mean? I think I could rock a little something. But so good to have you.
Yeah.
And I want to say publicly, our church is what it is because of so much of what you do. And we are grateful as a family, as a church family, but as a household, we are grateful for you.
Well, thank you.
I love you. I'm proud of you, just to see you continuing just to lead and just serve. And you know, there's a saying that says, you know, behind every good man is a good woman. I actually don't like that saying, because I believe that God has called husband and wife to not, for not just the wife to be behind the man, but to walk side and side. I believe that we are one. And I think it was the reason why God took the rib out of Adam's side, meaning that we are one. We're equal in Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. And so I'm proud of you just for stepping up and just continue just to avail yourself to what God has called you to do in this season. I love you. And I'm excited to be able to share this moment with you to help me preach. I couldn't do this without you today. So we're excited to dive into part 5 of this series called Mastermind. And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to look at a few different verses in this chapter, verses 1 through 18 more specifically, that center around one of God's main people, his main prophets, his go-to guy in the Old Testament by the name of Elijah. So we're going to go there in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 18 is really what we're going to be preaching from. But just to kind of kick things off, I just want to start with verses 1 through 3. It says this: Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "May the gods punish me and do so severely if I don't make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Watch verse 3. It says this: Then Elijah became afraid, and immediately he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba that belonged to Judah, he left his servant there. Verse 4. But he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. He said, "I have had enough, Lord." Some of you guys are watching this right now. You feel like you've had enough. Like, there's been so much going on over these past 2.5 months. It's like, man, I can't take anymore. And he says, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers." Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. So today, we want to preach a message that we believe is going to hopefully encourage. I pray that God uses this to reach people, not just all of us who are watching this online. I know it blessed us in preparing it, but we pray that God uses it to reach so many people. But we want to preach today, as we close this series, Mastermind, we want to preach from this thought: battling through a breakdown. Battling through a breakdown. I want you to preach to yourself in this moment. I want you to say these words. Say, "I can battle.
I can battle
through this breakdown."
Through this breakdown.
That was good. You kind of just jumped in there right there. I can battle through this breakdown. Yeah. Now, I think the reason why this message is so important in this series is because last week we talked about how there was a recent study that was done that actually said that 50 to 70,000 thoughts flow through our mind in the course of a day. That we have thoughts 50 to 70,000 times in the course of a day. That's a lot of thoughts. 70,000 thoughts in the course of a day is a lot. And then they actually also say that 2,500 thoughts cross your mind in the course of an hour. But it doesn't stop there. As I mentioned last week, I'm just kind of recapping to help us get some good framework. Out of those thoughts, out of those about 70,000 thoughts per day, about 80% of those are negative. 80%. And then out of those 85%, the 80% that's negative, 95% of your thoughts are repetitive, which means that 95% of my thoughts that I'm repeating are negative. And we shared this thought, this saying last week. We said that most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. Most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind, which means this, that there is a battle that's occurring in our mind, as we mentioned last week, that we can sometimes find ourselves feeling like we're losing that battle. Some of you right now are feeling like you're losing this battle. You feel like since COVID-19 started some months ago, you know, here you are at the end of May or whenever you're watching this and you're like, man, I'm losing this battle. I feel like in many ways I've lost this battle. As a matter of fact, one study actually says that about 46% of adults, watch this, 46% of adults in the U.S. will experience a mental illness in their lifetime. And when they say that, they're talking about depression, anxiety, addiction, or a breakdown of sorts. And the reason why this is so important and why we're doing this series, especially right now, prophetically, God gave me this series back in November. May is known as Mental Health Awareness Month. And I think it's very important that we lean into this, because I think right now, mentally, man, we're fatigued and we're stressed and maybe we're part of that 46%. Maybe you've already had a breakdown. Maybe you're in depression right now. Maybe you're battling anxiety. And if you're not, I think here's what the statistic helps us to all see, that we all are on the brink of a breakdown in some way. And a lot of this is natural, but there's also a major spiritual dynamic to this as well. And it also means this, that no one is immune to any of this, which brings us here to 1 Kings 19. Because here, Elijah is God's main prophet in this time. And Elijah, if you go back and read chapter 18 and chapter 17, he's coming off this incredible feat where God showed up in a big way to show that he really is God compared to Baal, the false god in that day and time. And God shows up and he pretty much just blows everything out of the water. And now because of this, all the false prophets of Baal that were leading people astray had been put to death by the hands of Elijah. In other words, Elijah was like, listen, God showed up. Let's go on and get all these other guys out the way. And here's where it gets crazy. Jezebel, who happens to be the wife of King Ahab, was like, hold on, player. I don't like what you did with all my false prophets, pretty much. She's like, I got a problem with this. And the Bible says in verse 2 that she puts out pretty much a hit on Elijah. And pretty much is like, listen, I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to do to you the same thing that you did to my false prophets. The same thing that you did over here, I'm coming to take your life. And you would think, right, that in this moment, after Elijah just had this massive victory, that he would be like, yo, bring it on, Jezebel. Come on, girl, what you got? Like, squad up, because my God over here, he done already took out your homies. He can come get you too. You want some too? Come get some, right? That's not what Elijah does. What has he done? He runs. He runs. And I think that's an interesting dynamic because it shows us that no matter how many great victories we see God do in our life, it shows us that we're still susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. And if we're not careful, they can begin to seep in our minds and begin to seep in our hearts. And so verse 3, notice what it says. It says, then Elijah became afraid and immediately he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba that belonged to Judah, he left his servant there. Watch what it says next. But he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. Wilderness. What does the wilderness represent? It represents a place of isolation. In other words, Elijah here has gotten away from everything. He's isolated himself from people. In some ways, maybe you could argue he's trying to maybe isolate himself from God, or at the very least, he's trying to isolate himself from the things that God wants him to do. He has gone into, let's say it like this, he's gone into quarantine. He has self-quarantined himself in this moment. He's gotten away from everybody. He's totally isolated himself. He goes into the wilderness. Why? Because he is stressed. He is anxious. Elijah here has hit rock bottom. Verse 4, after it says he went into the wilderness, it says he sat down under a broom tree and he prayed, watch this here, that he might die. And he said, I have had enough, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. And then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. Notice what happens here. Elijah is depressed. Elijah is stressed out. Elijah is frustrated. He essentially has hit rock bottom. One psychologist actually some years ago examined this account and examined the life of Elijah in this moment. And they actually say that Elijah is exhibiting all the classic signs of someone who is suffering from depression. That he's not eating as we see in this text, because later on the angel has to come and say, get up and eat, right? He's not eating. He's more than likely not sleeping well. And watch this. He even says, Lord, take my life. It's better that I not even be alive. He's now suicidal. And some of you guys are there right now, just like Elijah. He hit a low point. And this is a man, watch this. This isn't a man who doesn't know God. This is a man who has a relationship with God. He's anointed. He's called. He just did something great in 1 Kings chapter 18. Like, he just came off this incredible mountaintop experience. But here's what this shows. It shows us this. If Elijah, as incredible as he is, as anointed as he is, experienced something like this, we too can find ourselves having a breakdown. That no matter how anointed you are, no matter how gifted you are, no matter how much you think you got it together, no matter how much money you make, like you and I can experience a breakdown of sorts.
Yeah, and I think it's so powerful to see the context in which we're looking at scripture. You know, like, we can just read a story in the Bible and just look at that piece, but looking at context and flipping back and looking at chapter 18, which I encourage all of you all, when this is over, turn your Bibles back and read through chapter 18. We see how Elijah just saw, like you said, the presence of God in a mighty way. And so he has this legitimate faith in God because he's seen God move in a mighty way. He just saw God do what only God can do. And God actually showed out and said, these other gods that people are worshiping, they're not God. I am the true God. So he's seen that. He has this legitimate faith in God. But he also is gripped with this legitimate fear. Like his life is on the line. And so he's stuck in this, in the middle between my faith that I have in God and this fear that I have in the surroundings and what I see. And we all can find ourselves in a similar space, because faith is not the absence of fear, but it's the presence of a stronger trust and a stronger God.
That's good.
So if faith doesn't say that there's nothing for me to be afraid of, faith doesn't say that, oh, nothing's happening, I'm just gonna look and everything just looks beautiful, it's all roses and sunshines and we're skipping through fields of joy. That's not faith. Faith says, everything around me looks crazy. It's all going to pots. I don't know how I'm going to survive, how I'm going to pay this bill, how I'm going to make it through today, not even worried about tomorrow. I don't know how I make it through the next hour. But in spite of that, I choose to put my trust in a God who is stronger and who has dominion over all of these things. And so I think all of us can find ourselves in the midst of that battle, in the midst of this breakdown of sorts. And COVID-19 has really exposed that for us in a lot of ways. And in the Connect group that I'm a part of on Thursdays, we talk a lot about during this time, because we've been doing Connect groups really just in quarantine the whole time.
Yeah.
And so each week we do a check-in. How are you feeling? How are things going? What things have triggered something for you during this time? Because, you know, there were a lot of things that maybe we were stressed about or anxious about pre-quarantine, but now that we're in quarantine, maybe some of the ways that we suppress those things are gone. Maybe you suppress those things by going to the gym. Maybe you suppress those things by working longer hours or making yourself busier. So you were in all these different clubs and organizations.
Yeah.
You were giving your time in all these different ways, doing good things, but using the act of doing good to suppress and neglect maybe some things that you were feeling on the inside. And so now that those distractions are gone, we can find ourselves in this place of darkness. We are in the wilderness that was not self-inflicted like Elijah's. Elijah chose to go into the wilderness.
Yeah.
He chose to leave his servant and go deeper into isolation. But we've been sent to isolation outside of our control. But as a result, it's exposing some things in our lives. And so some of us may have had some thoughts like, maybe I'm better off dying. Like, what is the point of my life? Maybe the things that we found our purpose in have been stripped away from us in some way. Maybe it was a purpose, you had purpose in achieving or in being needed or in being able to help others. And now you find yourself like, I can't do that in the way I did it before. And so we get to this place of isolation. We're in darkness. We're feeling that I can't do the things that I normally do. And so now I just feel like, what's the point? Like, did I even hear God? Back in chapter 18, was that even the Lord who was speaking? Did I see God move in my life in other situations? Like, was that even God? Because now I just feel like I'm alone. I just feel dark. I feel hopeless. I feel like I don't have a future. I don't even know if the voice I'm hearing is God's voice or if it's my voice. Is this my idea or is it the enemy's idea? Like, I'm lost. And I think a lot of us can resonate with that right now, that that you're thinking like, I'm not going to survive this. Like, I don't think we're making it out. I don't think I'm making it out alive.
Yeah.
I'm not thriving in quarantine. I'm barely surviving. And we can find ourselves just being triggered because we're all in a state of grief right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that people don't really talk a lot about in the midst of all this, but we are all in a situation where we're grieving something.
Yeah.
Maybe you're grieving the loss of a family member. Maybe the family member didn't even pass away due to COVID-19, but they have passed away during this time and you can't even honor them or memorialize them in the way you would have wanted to because of the impact of the pandemic we're in right now. Or maybe you're just grieving the school year being over. You know, for me, I've realized as a parent, I have been grieving the end of a school year. Like, this is not the way I expected our daughter to end her 4K year. This is not the way I expected first grade to come to an end. I did not expect the last day of school to be the last day that it was and not really know it was the last day. You know, you didn't get closure. You didn't get to get the teacher a gift or give hugs or cry the tears or have the field day or all the things that we recognize are the end of the school year. And so we can be in a state of grieving. And just like Elijah, we can find ourselves in the wilderness, feeling alone, feeling hopeless, and feeling like there's nothing else we can do. And we're on the brink of a breakdown. And the good thing to know in the midst of when we're in the middle of a breakdown and how do we battle through this is that we have to know that God is close to you.
Yeah.
That you may feel like you're alone, but God is close to you.
Yeah.
We talked earlier in this series about how we can isolate ourselves from everything, but we cannot isolate ourselves from our mind, and we cannot isolate ourselves from our God.
He
is with us even when it feels like he's not. And we see that in scripture. So in chapter 19, verse 5, it says, "Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him. The angel told him, 'Get up and eat.' Then he looked, and there at his head was a loaf of bread baked over hot stones and a jug of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord returned for a second time and touched him. He said, 'Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you.' So he got up, he ate and drank. Then on the strength from that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. He entered a cave there and spent the night." So in the midst of Elijah being in the wilderness, suddenly an angel came and touched him. And the angel told him, "Get up and eat." So the angel, which represents the Lord, was there with him in the midst of isolation. He left his servant. He left Jezebel. He left all the people chasing him. He finds himself in a spot where he's like, "I just need to die." In the middle of that low spot, the angel of the Lord comes and is right there with him. And that can be encouraging, and that can give us hope, because that shows us that even though we may feel all alone in our home, wherever we are right now, wherever we find ourselves in, the Lord can still reach us. We can't go too far for the hand of the Lord to be able to grab us. We can't go too far for him to be able to send provision for us, even in the midst of the wilderness.
Yeah.
So the Lord is with us everywhere that we go. And so, verse 9 said he entered into the cave, and then we go on to hear, "Suddenly the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking for me to take my life.' Then he said, 'Go out and stand in the mountain in the Lord's presence.' At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" And so Elijah not only gets the provision from God, but he begins to see the act of God in at work. We're seeing nature moving and all these things happening. And then he hears a small, soft whisper. And how do you hear a whisper from someone?
Yeah.
I can't hear a whisper from someone if they're 1,000 miles away.
That's good.
If somebody is watching right now in California and you whisper, I don't hear you.
Right.
I don't know that you whisper. But if you whisper, I heard that. And he didn't say anything. He just made a noise.
I mean, I can say something.
You could say something.
I could whisper something.
We'll save that for later.
Say that.
And so he's whispering, and I hear what he's saying because he's close to me.
Right.
And so the fact that scripture says that the Lord wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the wind, he wasn't in the earthquake, but he came in a whisper, says that the Lord was close to Elijah, that he was right where Elijah is. And so that again gives us hope that in our darkest moments, no matter how far we go, the Lord is right there with us. I know many of us find ourselves just in that spot right now. I've talked to many people during this whole process and this whole time, and just checking in and seeing how you're doing it. You know, where are you on a scale of 1 to 10? Let's talk through it. And sometimes we can find ourselves, we're hearing God. So we hear the whisper, but it still just feels so dark. Mm-hmm. And so again, we begin to doubt, is that God? I think that's God, but I'm doing the thing that I think God's telling me to do.
Is
and I
here?
Still feel dark.
Yeah.
I still don't feel like he's here. And so I think in these moments and times of despair that we have, the enemy is going to use this opportunity to speak lies into your life.
Yes.
He is going to use this opportunity to shout the lies. So we're hearing the whisper of God. Well, we may hear the shout of the enemy. Even in this, we see the mountains are shaking. That wasn't silent. Like the mountain shaking was not a silent thing. If you think about cliffs and mountains shaking, we're seeing avalanches probably. There's a whole lot of turmoil happening in that, in just natural sense. An earthquake. An earthquake is not silent. You could be sleeping in an earthquake and wake up because everything is happening. happening. And not only is the earth quaking, but there are ramifications of that. Yeah. Things are falling. Your pictures are falling off. You know, there is shaking happening. Those things aren't silent.
Yes.
And so, but the Lord wasn't in any of those things. The Lord was in the whisper. And so I think that even as we're in the midst of this darkness and we hear the soft whisper of the Lord, what we hear more are the lies of the enemy. Those 95% of our thoughts that we're ruminating constantly and circling around that mountain, those are the lies of the enemy that are telling us, like, no, you're not going to make it out of this. No, your job is not going to hire you back. You're never going to come off furlough.
Right.
That unemployment is going to end someday and you're not going to have a job. That no one wants you. That you are always going to be alone. That nobody cares about you. That whatever that thing is, whatever that thought is that you woke up with this morning, that you've had even as we have been talking today, those thoughts are from the enemy. If they don't line up with the word of God, they are from the enemy.
Absolutely.
If they don't line up with what God has said is true, if you can't find scripture to support whatever that thought is from Satan.
Mm.
And so our goal is to, one, know the word. Because if I don't know what the word says, I have nothing to put this against. I just think, okay, yeah, that must be truth because it's something I thought of. But every thought needs to be brought captive under the Holy Spirit. Every thought needs to be reconciled with what the Lord has already said to be true. And so, but one thing that we notice in this scripture is the Lord and the angel never condemned Elijah for where he was.
Mm.
Nowhere in scripture do you see that he felt the Lord turn away from him.
Mm.
Or nowhere does he say, well, why do you want to kill yourself, Elijah? I just did this great thing. Mm. I just defended.
He doesn't condemn him.
He doesn't condemn him. He doesn't make him feel bad for the feelings that he has.
Yeah.
And I think so often we pick up condemnation.
Yeah.
And condemnation does not come from the Lord.
Not one bit.
The Lord wants to challenge us. He wants us to grow. He doesn't want you to stay in the pit. He doesn't want you to stay in darkness.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not going to make you feel like less of a person because that's the feelings you have.
That's
because
true.
Those emotions are human. They are human nature, and we live in a fallen world. So because we live in a fallen world and we're hearing all the attacks of the enemy, we got to wrestle with that, and we're not perfect. And sometimes in our wrestling, we're going to find ourselves in a dark place, but we don't have to stay there. So it's okay to have a breakdown. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to cry some tears.
It's okay.
Like some of you right now just need to cry.
Just need to cry.
You need to journal.
Yeah.
You need to listen to some worship music. You need to call a friend.
Yes.
You need to process some things out loud.
Yes.
You need to get out of your isolation.
Yes.
So you might be alone physically, but you need to call some people. You need to do some FaceTime.
Yeah.
You need to say, hey, I just need to see a face. I need to have a conversation. Me and one of my friends this past week, we were like, we just need to see people. Like, we need to have an interaction with people. So we're going to go get lunch, and your kids are going to eat it in your van with the trunk open, and my kids are going to eat in my van with the trunk on it. And we're going to stay 6 feet apart, but we are going to talk to each other. So we can try to have, like, a semblance of what life looked like pre-quarantine.
Yeah.
And so we have to be intentional with how we do that now, but we need it. And don't, my fear is that we'll use this opportunity as a time where the enemy just speaks loudly to us and we don't focus on the whisper that God is speaking. And then we come out of this darker. We come out of this in a deeper pit because the enemy used this isolation to really just show himself off and to try to make you feel like less than a person.
Mm.
And so we have a choice in that in the presence of our fear, we can focus our faith on God. So cry, let it out. Process the thing.
Yeah.
There's no harm in doing that. And because when we are vulnerable, when we feel the thing, when we feel the emotion, that's when we feel the comfort of God. It was when Elijah went into the wilderness, when he said the words, I should just die, that the angel shows up.
Right.
He had to acknowledge the feeling that he had.
Yeah.
He had to say it. This is how I feel. And a lot of times we don't want to talk about how we feel.
Yeah.
We just want to go do something else. So it's like, oh, I got this feeling, but we're not going to address the feeling. We're just going to go do some work. I'm going to go to the garage. I'm going to build something. I'm going to go make sure my kids are straight. I'm going to cook dinner. I'm going to eat something.
Mm.
I'm going to be busy. I'm not going to feel it. But Elijah was like, no, I'm open. This is how I feel.
Yeah.
The feeling might not be from the Lord, but I still got it. So let's talk about it. Let's address it. And it's in that we found the comfort from God. Matthew 5, Chapter 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Mm.
The promise is that you are blessed in mourning. It don't feel good.
Right.
No one thinks that mourning is like a comforting thing.
Right.
But blessed are those who mourn because they will be comforted.
Yeah.
That's the promise of the Lord. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Not those who are like, just bruised in spirit, but crushed in spirit, crushed in spirit. The presence of the problems doesn't mean that your God is absent. Mm. The presence of your problems does not mean that God is not there. It's not like, oh, well, this is happening, so surely there is no God.
Yeah.
Like, no, God is still there with you in the midst of it all. And so him being close to Elijah, and it speaks to the fact that God wants to not only be close to you, but he also wants to provide for you.
Yeah.
He provided food for Elijah. He provided a full meal and water.
Yeah.
And not only was it just like a snack, but it says in the scripture that that was what fueled him to be able to travel for 40 days. So whatever feast the Lord provided for Elijah got him through 40 days of travel.
Yes.
And travel, 40 days of travel is just a long time.
It's a long time.
In general.
Yeah.
I don't even know how far we would get in 40 days of travel now. I mean, we could be around
that
the world
by
twice.
Foot.
By foot.
Yeah.
So he's by foot traveling for 40 days. So you knew that had to be some nutrients. That wasn't some Doritos and like a Sprite that the Lord provided, because that's not getting you anywhere.
Not
especially
nowhere.
By foot. But it was provision that he needed. And that just reminds me that like the Lord in our darkness and in the space where we feel like God's not there, he is still providing.
Yeah.
Like he is still meeting a need. The fact that we're waking up every day, we can take that for granted. But do you know how much has to happen for you to like stay awake in your sleep and all the things that could happen? You know what I mean? All the things, the things that we fear, it's like we only see in part. God sees whole, right?
Right.
So we only can fear from our perspective. There could be a whole lot of other stuff we should be fearing about. You know what I mean? So God is keeping all that stuff at bay, and he can keep the stuff at bay that we even have the knowledge to think about, to be afraid of. Does that make sense? And so, like, God is providing for us in the presence. And a lot of times, if we just take our eyes off of the thing that we're afraid of and we put our eyes on Christ and we look at the ways God is good, so I can see the list of how he's bad, but maybe I can hold on to the one way that he's good and we can see his provision in the midst of it, I think that's how we can make it through this breakdown, because we will realize that God is close to us.
He's close to us. And I think the enemy would try to convince us that, you know what, God is bad. Like, man, look at all the things that he didn't do. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. But here's the reality of the fact. Like, God is good. The Bible speaks about that. He is good, and he's greatly to be praised. Like, even in the midst of situations not feeling good, it doesn't change the fact that God is good. And one of the things that's so important, like, for us to see, even in this passage, if you go back to, like, around verse 10, Elijah says something crazy that you just read. He says, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and even killed your prophets with the sword. Watch what he says next. I alone am left. So he says that I'm alone. But then you jump down to verse 14. He says the same thing when he's having a conversation with God again. He says, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone, I alone. He continues to repeat this narrative that I'm by myself. Like, there's nobody here that's with me. And God is correcting me. He says, no, number one, you're wrong, Elijah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Never to leave you, never to forsake you. And let me say it like this. I want you to write this down. That you may feel far from God, but God is not far from you. And you may be having a breakdown right now. And you may be isolated. And you may feel like you're by yourself. And you may feel like God is not with you. I want you to know that is a lie from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
God is with you. Never to leave you, never to forsake you. The presence of problems does not mean the absence of God. And I love the fact that you just mentioned that how God ministers to Elijah. And he ministers to Elijah at his soul, on the level of his soul. So he gives him a word. He strengthens him internally, but then God also provides him with substance.
Yeah.
So like he now speaks to or meets a physical need as well. And I'm going to get very practical with this moment because I think sometimes when we're talking about, you know, mental health challenges and maybe having a breakdown, there is oftentimes there is a shunning, or like you said, there's a condemnation, I think, from the enemy that's been planted in the body of Christ, outside the body of Christ, where you know you will look down upon if, you know, you're a believer, or even if you're not a believer, but you go to a therapist, or you may have a prescription to deal with anxiety, clinical depression, or things of that nature. It's like, oh, well, you don't trust God enough. Here's what I want you to understand.
Like your faith isn't strong enough.
Your faith isn't strong enough. That is a lie from the pit of hell.
Yeah.
I'll say this, like, emphatically. I believe in prayer, and if you need it, prescription too, because your brain is a muscle. It's a part of your body. So we don't say like, man, if I got the stomach flu, like, and I take, you know, what was some
like an antibiotic,
like, yeah, or some Tums or something like, yeah. Or you're not, your faith ain't strong because you didn't believe that God is Jehovah Rapha and he can't heal your stomach
flu. It's like you're vomiting, but you should just have strong faith.
Let me tell y'all something.
No one will say that.
Can we be real? Like, there's been plenty, I've had the stomach flu so many times in my life, and I've been in the bathroom, in the fetal position, praying, God, would you take this away? And at the same time, taking the antibiotic, God, take it away, take it away. You know, like,
if you
like,
want to use this
absolutely ability. Yeah. Like, so I think a lot of times what happens is like we believe these condemning lies from the enemy that it has to be one way or that there's not practical things that God's put in place. When God tells Elijah get up, he says get up and eat. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just tell him get up and go. He says no, you need to get up and get something in your stomach. Something practical. And so just and like I said earlier, just as this is a spiritual thing, this is also a natural thing as well. It plays out naturally. And there may be some times where you might have to go talk to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Yeah. There may be some time where you may talk to a Christian counselor and they may say look, it's you praying and we're going to work through and process through all this stuff, but I'm going to give you some prescription as well because I think physically this might help you. That's a biblical thing. That's a good thing. God has given wisdom to doctors and people in these areas to be able to meet the needs. That's what ministry is actually called, to minister and to meet the needs of others. And so, like, let us not believe these condemning lies of the enemy that causes us to think, like, you know, not only is God not for me, but I'm just going, you know, like I've prayed about it and nothing has happened. No. I believe that God also gives you some practical things as well. And I thought you did a great job mentioning some of those practical things, whether it's building relationships with people. Sometimes it's not just medicinal. It's also relational. Like, we got to begin to tap into those relationships and tap into all these different type of resources. And so, and here's the reason why, because if we don't lean into the things that God has made available to us, here's what happens. We will try to medicate our pain with alcohol, with destructive habits, with substance abuse. So like we have to come back to this place of recognizing, man, God is with me, that I don't have to medicate my pain. I don't have to medicate the all the anguish that I feel. Like, no. I can go to God and he can give me the direction that I need to be able to meet the needs that I'm having. So battling through a breakdown, it's about knowing that God is close to you. We talked about how he speaks in a whisper. And a whisper is about proximity. It means he's close. But the other key to battling through a breakdown, you not only need to know that God is close to you, you also need to know that God is calling you. He's calling you. What do I mean by he's calling you? Meaning he has a purpose and plan for your life. That there's something that God wants to do through your life. And God speaks this word to Elijah in verse 15. It says, then the Lord said to him, go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you are to anoint Hazael. I just butchered his name, Hazael, as king over Aram. You are to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Then Jehu will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put, I always get that wrong, even
I'm
in
so
the
happy you're reading this and not
me. And Elisha will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Jehu. But I will leave 7,000 in Israel, every knee that has not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. Number one, Elijah, remember he said, I'm alone. There's nobody else left. God here tells him, I've already got 7,000 other people that you don't even know anything about. So not only am I with you, but my people are with you. You are not alone. I am close to you. My people are close to you. But backing up verses 15 through 17, what does God call Elijah to do? He calls him, go anoint the next king and go anoint your successor. There is a purpose that God has for him. God is calling Elijah. When I mention calling, I'm talking about your purpose, the very thing that you were created for. Notice what God does. He calls Elijah out of depression. He calls him out of his mental breakdown. He calls him out of his emotional breakdown. Early in scripture, notice what the Bible says. The angel says, get up. Why? Because God has a calling on his life. God had a calling on Elijah's life to go anoint and appoint new leadership. In particular, his mentee, Elisha, with an S, not a J. And Elisha would actually do even greater things than Elijah himself did. The Bible actually speaks of Elisha having a double portion from that of his mentor, Elijah, who's our main character in this text. But watch what happens. That never happens for Elisha if Elijah stays in a cave. I hope I didn't lose you right there. Elijah with a J is stuck in a cave, but God calls him out and he tells him, go anoint Elisha with an S because I got a plan for his life. His purpose is directly connected to your purpose and your calling. What am I ultimately saying here? What I'm trying to help you understand is your purpose and you walking in the plan and purpose and calling of God is directly connected to somebody else's calling as well. In other words, somebody else is depending on you to do what the angel told Elijah, which is this. Get up. Somebody say, get up.
Get up.
Get up. You need to get up from where you are. Maybe for some of you, you need to get up off your couch. Maybe that needs to be a physical representation of what you need to do in your life right now. You need to get up. It is time for you to move from this place of breakdown. I know it's real, and I know it hurt, and I know it was crazy, and I know it was dark, but I want you to know that God is for you. He is not against you. And even though Elijah didn't see value in his life in the moment, God reminds him and he speaks to him and he says, I got a purpose for your life. I got a calling for your life. And you may be battling through this breakdown right now. You may be at your wit's end. You may be depressed. You may be tired, but I want you to know that God has a calling on your life. I'll say it like this. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. And here's what 2 Timothy 1:9 says. He has saved us and called us, watch what it says, with a holy calling or purpose, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Let me say it again, family. There is somebody waiting on you to get up. Your kids are waiting on you. A perfect stranger is waiting on you to step into your calling for you to help them to know Jesus. Don't you dare quit. There is a calling on your life, a calling to love your spouse, to raise your children, to point more people to Jesus. There's a calling on some of you guys' lives to pastor, to lead in ministry, to serve, to make a difference. Don't you dare abort your assignment. And I know it's dark right now, and I know it's not comfortable, but I want you to know that in your darkness, God's light is shining bright. Yeah. God is calling you today to get up. And the good news in this passage is Elijah makes it through his breakdown. He battles through his breakdown by the grace of God. The next verse in verse 19 actually picks up and it says, Elijah goes to find Elisha, exactly what God told him to do. And he anoints him. He throws his cloak around him, representing the fact that the mantle or the calling of God that was on Elijah's life has now transferred to that of Elisha. He makes it through his breakdown and he steps into this new place. But here's what I want you to understand today. And I think you could probably help me out with this. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the only one who had a breakdown of sorts and knows what it feels like to experience a breakdown. Because Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, he too, as he was preparing to go to the cross, he was praying to God in the garden. Some of you guys may be familiar with this prayer. He prayed 3 times, Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. What was the cup that he was talking about? The cup of God's wrath that he was now taking upon himself for your sin and my sin. Because of our past, present, and future sins, he was carrying the weight. And the Bible says he was under so much anguish that he was really having a breakdown of sorts physically that he began to sweat droplets of blood. You got to be under some type of pressure.
I don't even know what kind of pressure.
To sweat blood.
Yeah, I don't even want
to
know.
I'm sweating right now because I'm preaching hard.
But it ain't blood.
But it ain't blood.
Yeah.
That's the type of pressure that he was under. So much anguish because of the weight of the cross that he would carry for our sin. And here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that Jesus identifies with your breakdown. He knows what it feels like. He knows. How do I know that to be true? Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, meaning Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus knows exactly what you're going through because he went through it himself. But we have one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with, say it with me, boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus went to the cross, carried our shame, died for our sins, and it looked like he was done. But God, through the power of the Spirit, called him out of a cave. Just like God called by his Spirit Elijah out of the cave, God calls Jesus, the eternal Son of God, second person in the Trinity. He calls him out of that cave called the tomb on the third day. And he says, get up to show the world that I got all power in my hands. Jesus got up out of the grave so you could break through your breakdown.
That's good.
Jesus overcame his breakdown. So that way, when you and I experience one through his power, we can experience it and battle through it. So that way, we don't have to stay stuck where we are. Because if Jesus got up out of the grave on the third day, then that means, too, I can get up. Like, I can rise out of the ashes of my defeat. I can rise out of the ashes of my pandemic, of my problems, of my quarantine. I can arise out of the stronghold and out of the mental places that I'm in right now. I can get up because Jesus got up. I'm preaching. I know I got on a riff and a run. I don't know if you got anything else. What you got?
One thing that just keeps coming back into my mind is how Elijah, it was his connection with his calling. It was the revelation of this is what I'm called to do.
Yeah.
And the people that were assigned to his calling that gave him the power in Christ to be able to push through his dark moment.
Yeah,
and the same
is
true with Jesus. Like, Jesus didn't just die on the cross because he just was like, this is the fun thing to do today.
Yeah.
I should just get crucified.
Yeah.
Like, no, he had a record. He had a real realization of the people. He had you in mind.
Come on.
He had me in mind. He had your children, the generations that were going to follow. And he saw your face and said, no, because of filling your name, I must get on the cross die and be rose again. Because she won't have any hope. If I don't do this, then she'll have no power.
Yeah.
If I don't do this, then he'll never make it out of the pit. If I don't do this, then they will always be doomed. So because of their future, because of the hope that they need, I am going to do the thing that I need to do to give them the freedom.
Yeah.
And so God's already won the freedom for us. He's already done the hard thing for us through Jesus and sending his son on the cross. And so now in you, you have the power to be able to do that in him.
Yeah.
And because of that, there are generations that are depending on you to get up.
Get up.
Not only the generations that you can see. Elijah didn't see Elisha in the moment.
He didn't
see him. He was like, oh, him. Okay, yeah, I'll go. No, it was like, go. This is a person. I'm sending to you. Just go do the thing. So there are people who you don't even know who are waiting for you to do the thing. And
I think
so often our culture says that, like, I got to boss up because it's going to be good for me.
Mm.
Like, I got to glow up because then I'm going to come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to eat well. And it's like, no, our calling isn't because of us. Our calling isn't to solely benefit us.
Yes.
Our calling and our purpose is to benefit other people. And the thing God wants to do isn't just for you. It's not just for your household. It's not just for the people you know who are in your phone.
Yeah.
But the thing God wants to do through you, and he doesn't have to give you a platform to do it.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to give you a stage. You
no.
don't have to be an influencer on YouTube for God to use you to impact generations. But what he wants to do is not just for you. He wants you to get up and has given you the power to break out of this breakdown for the people who you don't even know yet, for those generations who are depending on you to get up and do the thing. So use that as your fuel to get up and do the thing today. Because it's no longer about you. It's no longer about me.
No.
I could stay here if it's just about me.
Yeah.
Because I'm comfortable. I'm good. I'm going to be all right. But if I know there are people depending on me to show up today, then I need to do that.
Yes, absolutely. And you may be tired right now and you may be weary. I get it. I've been there. Ariel's been there. We've been there. You've been there. This week, like we felt the weight of that. But then God speaks in a whisper.
Mm-hmm.
He says, get up. I got more for you.
Yeah.
Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater works will you do.
Yeah.
And I know for some of you right now, you clicked on this video. You turned on this broadcast. And some of you, you've had suicidal thoughts this week. Mm-hmm. You've even tried to take your life. You haven't told anybody this. That's the dirty little secret that you haven't even shared with anybody. But you did try to end your life this week. I want you to know God knows about you. God cares about you. That he has a calling for your life. That he is close to you. And that he proved that he's close to you. That he has a calling for your life. And that he loves you by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And he got him up out of that grave, out of that cave on the third day to show you that you too, by the Spirit's power, by the power of God, you can get up.
Yeah.
And I know you may have battled through this breakdown, and I know you may be going through it right now as we speak, but the good news is this: Jesus is for you. He never left you. He's never forsaken you. You have a calling on your life. I want you to know it is not over for you. Better days are not behind you. They are in front of you. The word that we've been declaring over our church, that I declare over you today, is the word greater for this year. And greater has not shifted because we are in a pandemic. I want you to know that God can do exceedingly abundantly above more than you could ever ask or imagine, even in a pandemic. He can do it. And he can do it for you even in the midst of your breakdown. And I want you to know today that even if you are there, even as you're watching this right now, and you've tried to get through moments like this on your own, you've tried prescription and it helped briefly, but it didn't deal with your soul. I want you to know the reason why is because only Jesus can do something about that. Only Jesus can minister to you at the level of your soul. You can't make it through any breakdown long-term in life without Jesus. You will continue to have spiritual, emotional, mental, physical breakdowns with nowhere to turn. I want you to know that Jesus is your solution. He is the way. He is the truth. He also is the life. It is only through Jesus. Only Jesus can get you through what it is that you're going through today. And if you have never said yes to Jesus and you've never given him your life, today we want to give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And the way you do that is by putting your faith and putting your trust in him. So I want to lead you into prayer right now. And I want us all just in this moment with heads bowed and eyes closed right where you are. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin Ariel, I'm in this place right now. I'm battling through a breakdown. I've tried to do this on my own. I tried to drink it away. I tried to smoke it away. I tried to sex it away. I tried to party it away. I went to these websites to try to numb this and numb that, but it didn't work. I need Jesus because he's the only one who could bring me out of this cave. If that's you right now, and I'm talking to you, if that is you, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins, and I believe that you rose on the third day to give me life and to give it more abundantly. I receive your love. I receive your life. I receive your power. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for comforting me. In your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to know today that you are part of the family of God, that God is with you. You are now a new creature, and it does not mean that you won't have moments potentially of having a breakdown, but what it means is that you got a God who is with you, that you got a God that you put your faith and trust in, that he will get you through whatever it is that you are going through, that all of your sins have been washed away, past, present, and future. Today marks the day of your new beginning. And if you made that decision, we want to honor you. We want to come alongside of you. We want to walk along this path following Jesus with you. We want you to know that not only is God with you through his presence right there where you are through his spirit, but he's also with you through his people. And we believe that you're our people. We're your people. You are our people. We are together. And what I want you to do right now, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to text I decided to 94,000. It's there at the bottom of the screen because we want to shoot you some next steps. And we want to connect with you. We want to help you grow and become the person that God has called you to be. Church family, can y'all make as much digital noise as possible right now? Drop some emojis there. Drop some hand claps in the comment section. Do whatever it takes. Put a whole bunch of exclamation points there. Let's make some noise for every single person. Put some hearts out there. Put some thumbs up emojis, man, because we're celebrating all that God has done today. You can make it through that breakdown.
It really is a birthday.
It's a birthday.
This is a new day in your life. This is the day you got up.
Yes.
This is the day you said,
you got
I don't
up.
Have to do
yes.
it myself. And so this can be a day where you mark everything changed on this day. It didn't maybe change physically, but it changed in you on today. So we got to celebrate that.
We got to celebrate that. And church family, we celebrate with every single person who said yes to Jesus. Welcome them into your family. Church family, also, I want to thank you for your prayers during this time. I want to thank you for your commitment to leading people to Jesus, for praying for people, for being salt and light, for loving your neighbor as yourself, as God has called us to ultimately do during this time. I also want to thank you for your continued generosity and honoring God through your giving, through your tithes, and through your offerings, allowing us to be able to reach people near and far so that way we can continue to serve people and love people and meet the needs of people, not just spiritually, but also practically. Thank you so much. Continue to give, continue to honor God. All the giving opportunities and ways are at the bottom of the screen so you can take advantage of that, but I thank you so much for honoring God.
And your
there.
Giving is a demonstration of your faith in God.
Yes.
Because we have so many reasons why we shouldn't give,
right.
why we need to hoard right. onto it. And yeah. so our continued giving, and maybe if you've never given, your activation of giving during this time is
Absolutely.
Your faith saying, in spite of the things I could be afraid mm. of, I am choosing to put my hope in God, and this is how I'm demonstrating that. Mm. And you guys have been so faithful and so consistent in just honoring God yeah. in that way. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then last but not least, you know, some of you guys, you know, you may be wondering, you know, with this pandemic and with things kind of reopening, when are we going to, as a church, begin to have physical gatherings? When is the church going to open back up? First, let me correct your theology. The church never closed, because the church is not a building. The church is a people. Jesus did not die for four walls. He died for people. So that's, let's get that right. So what has closed is our building. And we did that obviously for safety purposes. And we did that obviously because of different restrictions that were put in place. But here's what I want you to understand. As your pastor, as leaders, we care about your spiritual health. That is your most important. That's like when you go to heaven, your soul is going to be with Jesus, and he died for you. And so I care about your spiritual health, but I also care about your physical health. We also care about your physical health. And so we don't want to do anything that's going to put anybody at risk. I don't believe that's really us loving people as ourselves properly, as Jesus calls us to do. And so we care about your spiritual health. We care about your physical health. So I'm going to just be honest with you. I really don't know when we're going to reopen. I don't know when we're going to open up the doors again. I don't really know what that looks like. We've kind of been working together on some things, and we've kind of been throwing out different ideas. We sent out a survey a few weeks ago. Thank you guys so much for filling that out, just to give us some perspective into where you are, into how you feel. But right now, we don't really know. Nothing is concrete. And so we're really just taking this opportunity to really just be led by God. So in the meantime, all of our services will continue to be online. We're going to continue to do as much ministry online. Let me say it like this. He's an online God. Yes, he is. Come on, somebody. He not just an on-time That's God. True. He's an online God. Come go on
that
and sing.
That was like, I'm not singing it, but that was really corny, but I got it.
He's an online God. Yes, he is. Come on.
Whoa.
You ain't going to go there? All right, cool. Mm-hmm. But he is an online God. And we are an online church exclusively. But at least the next for the foreseeable future. But we will be sharing our plans as time goes on. But thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you so much for sticking in there, for being faithful. I want to encourage you to continue to lean into the presence of God. I want you to know that God is for you. He's not against you. I want you to know that you can battle through the breakdown by knowing that God is close to you, but also by knowing that God is calling you. Would you mind leading us and closing us in prayer today?
Yes, I would not mind.
You did a fantastic job, by the way.
Awesome. So did you.
Oh,
that's great.
God is good.
All right, let's pray.
Let's pray.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you just for this opportunity to be able to hear a message of encouragement, to know that even if we find ourselves in a dark spot, that if we find ourselves in a pit where we feel hopeless and we feel that you are away from us, that the promise and the truth of the matter is that you have never left us, that you are providing for us, that you are giving us comfort. And so I pray that this message just resonates with your people today.
Yeah.
I pray that it hits home, that you make it feel real for them, that you bring forward real examples and practical ways that this message isn't for their friend, but it's for them.
Yeah.
And so I pray that we grab hold of this message and that we really use this as the day where we chose to get up, where we saw you, we took hold of your strength, we're holding your hands, and we're getting up and walking in our calling, Lord God. And so I just believe there will be miracles coming out of this, that there will be talks of freedom that came as a result of this series, Lord God, because you are a God who can do the hard thing, and you are the God who brings hope to us, even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of a pandemic, Lord. So I thank you for your favor, for your grace, for the peace that surpasses all understanding, that you are our guide and you are bringing us through. We love you, Lord, and it's in your son Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Family, BFAM, we love y'all.
Love you guys.
We can't wait to see you next Sunday. We're praying for you. God bless.